Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we continue in our sermon series that will be music to your ears, so to speak. For the next several weeks, we'll be in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is certainly a section of the Bible that has much to offer. In its 150 messages, there is encouragement, instruction, inspiration, truth, and solutions to the great issues facing you and I. The needs of the human heart and mind are cared for in this unique book. As we dive into the book of Psalms, we'll study more closely the benefits from this great source of godly inspiration. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor Luke.
When I was growing up, we spent a lot of time on the road. In fact, I've got a picture of how we used to pack our minivan. That was just a drive into town. No, not really. That's not our minivan. Thank the Lord. But we used to pack up our minivan, and we used to drive all over the place. And my dad used to be a conference speaker, and we used to travel out to California once or twice a year. We put, I think, 60 to 80,000 miles on every year, amongst other things that we did. But looking back on all the travel, I realize that what Ralph Waldo Emerson said was right when he said, life is a journey, not a destination. And I think we use that term, journey, to describe our lives, don't we? I think it's a fitting description of our lives. We say life is a journey. Why? Because it has all these twists and turns, all of these unknowns, all of these ups and downs. Well, today as we continue our series in Psalms, God's songs, we've been looking at different types or topics that are covered in the Psalms, and today we're going to look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121, and it is a song of ascent. And we're going to talk about that and explain that in a moment, but my prayer and my hope is that we each would receive encouragement for our journey. Encouragement for our journey. Would you pray with me, and then we're going to jump into God's word together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do know that life is a journey. And Lord, I pray that as we look into your word today, God, help us to come to your word with expectation in our hearts and minds. God, help us to anticipate that you are going to speak to us. You are going to teach us a new truth or remind us of a truth that we already know. But either way, God, you are going to change us so that we leave this place different, so that we leave here encouraged for our journey. And God, we will give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is a psalm of ascent? Psalms 120 through 134, this group of psalms, at the beginning of each of these 15 psalms, it says in your Bible, you could read it, it says a song of ascent or a song of degrees. The Bible doesn't specify exactly what is meant by these ascending psalms. And maybe there's more musical significance to that than I'm aware of. And how they were sung, I'm not sure. In the Mishnah, which is a part of the recorded Jewish oral law, they link these 15 songs to the 15 steps of the temple. So the Psalms of Ascent or the Songs of Ascent would be linked to that idea of ascending into the temple for worship. Another plausible explanation, though, that I think is embraced by many, is that this grouping of psalms were specifically chosen to be sung during the three pilgrimages, the three road trips, if you will, to Jerusalem that the Jews were commanded to take each and every year. So three times a year, and if you're writing notes, you could compare Exodus chapters 23 and 34. So Exodus chapters 23 and 34 and Deuteronomy 16. And if you have a cross-reference Bible, you can see some of that. And if you have a study Bible, you probably have in your notes some of these cross-references so you can put some of these ideas together and why they're called songs of ascent. So these psalms were not necessarily composed specifically for these pilgrimage journeys, but it seems that they were compiled and used for that occasion. And I was thinking, we don't use hymnals anymore, much to the disappointment of a few of our members. I don't see Larry Wilson here today, but he would have said amen if he were here. But I grew up with hymnals, and in Open Door Church's history, we had hymnals, and they actually have different categories. So there were different categories. There were you know, praise and worship, or praise and adoration, and there were, you know, Easter and Christmas, and hymns of repentance, and hymns of, you know, all these. You know, you could see the categories. And so that's kind of how I picture that this is what the Jews did. They said these 15 songs are particularly good. Or maybe it was the melody that was played with them, and maybe they were marching songs, I don't know. And so as they're walking to Jerusalem, we're going to sing these songs of ascent as we're ascending to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was up on a hill. So no matter where you came to Jerusalem from, you were ascending to Jerusalem. So this is a road trip song, a road trip psalm that we're going to cover, Psalm 121, and we're going to kind of get that picture a little bit later, but you can go ahead and put that in your mind. If you can imagine not that minivan packed to the hilt and way overloaded, and the axles were probably going to break, but if you can imagine before the era of automobiles, taking your family on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and taking that trip, and depending on how far you were away, it would probably take at least a day, 2 days, 3 days to journey on foot to go to Jerusalem for one of the three feasts and the celebrations that they participated in. So let's read, and we'll go through Psalm 121, and I think we're going to receive encouragement for our journey and see how this can apply to our lives as well. So the psalmist begins in the first part of verse 1. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. We're going to stop right there. We're going to just march through, especially these first few verses, and then we'll kind of lump some of the other verses together. But he says, I will lift my eyes to the hills. Now, this is interesting, so we'll unpack this. It says, I will lift my eyes to the hills. Why? Why? Again, if you think of them journeying toward Jerusalem, if you've ever seen pictures of Israel, it's a hilly country. It's not like Iowa or northern parts of Missouri, most of Missouri, honestly, or definitely not like Nebraska or North Dakota or those places that are just flat. So there's hills all around. The psalmist says, I will lift my eyes to the hills. Now, the psalmist could either be looking to the hills negatively in anxiety or positively in anticipation. And we're going to see this, and they both could be true, one or the other, or they both could be. So the negative aspect of looking to the hills in anxiety is because the hills offered a hiding place for burglars and robbers. Traveling in this day and age, or in that day and age, I should say, is different than this day and age. We get in our vehicle, and we get on the interstate, and we are booking it at 70 miles an hour. And if we're honest, we all set the cruise at 74 to 76, right? So we're booking it. Have you ever been concerned about being robbed or mugged while you were traveling 70 miles an hour? No. So we don't think of, oh, I'm taking a road trip, I'm concerned for my safety. If you've ever been in inner city, any city of significant size, Chicago, South Side, my dad taught us when we were young, you fill up your tank with gas so that you never, ever, ever have to stop. Even if you're on I-80 and you're going on the South Side of Chicago, you don't ever stop for gas in a certain stretch. Why? Because it's not smart, all right? You're in danger in those. There's a lot of gang activity and whatever. So if you think about the hills, that would be like our modern day dark alley. I don't think we need a show of hands at who is scared of a dark alley in inner city, big metropolis. I would avoid dark alleys. Well, on the road, there's nooks and crannies, there's crevices, there's caves, there's hills. And so the psalmist could be saying, I look to the hills with some anxiety because there are dangers around these corners and around these hills. It also could have been in anticipation or excitement because the psalmist could have been saying, I lift my eyes to the hills, meaning toward Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was situated among hills. So there could be two senses that the psalmist is saying, I will lift my eyes to the hills. And then the psalmist says in the ESV, from where does my help come? ? So this would follow the interpretation of anxiety. In other words, I look around at all the potential danger, which is the hills. Where can I find help or protection? Are you with me so far? This is teaching, but we want to understand the scripture, right? Especially if some of you have the King James Version and you're like, mine doesn't have a question mark after it, and it's one sentence instead of two sentences with a question mark. So this negative or anxiety aspect is, I look to the hills, there's a lot of danger. Where am I going to receive my protection? Where am I going to receive my help? The King James, on the other hand, has the entire first verse as one sentence and ends it with a period, not a question mark. It reads, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, comma, from whence cometh my help, period. And in the Hebrew, it can be translated both ways. So the King James translates it more following the interpretation of anticipation. In other words, I'm looking to the hills, which is representative of where Jerusalem is situated, and Jerusalem represents the presence of God. And so the psalmist could be saying, I'm looking to the hills where Jerusalem is, and that is where my help is coming from. Okay, are you with me, church? Can you nod? All right, even if you're not with me, you're at least nodding, so I know you're awake. Okay, so there's two senses that this first verse, in which this first verse could be taken. And either one is proper and fitting. And in fact, the psalmist might have both in mind. It reminds me of the David Crowder song where the chorus says, I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. And somebody asked him, well, does that mean God is holding on to us? Or does that mean, you know, like God's saying those words to us, I am holding on to you? Or did you write it with the idea that we are singing it to God, saying, God, I am holding on to you? And he said, you get to choose. Either one. If you need to feel like God is holding on to us in the middle of the storm, he said, that's true. And that's biblical. That God's word teaches that. Or if you feel like you are clinging on to the Lord in desperation because of what you're going through, that's also true. And so I loved his response. Like, I just was expressing the connection of God and us being held together. He said, I didn't even really think about which sense it was. And he says, even as I sing it, both of them are in mind. God is saying, I am holding on to you. And we can say to God, I am holding on to you. Amen? So either way, whether there was some anxiety or anticipation, if we're going to be honest with ourselves in our journey of our life, we look around at the hills with anxiety. We look at the dark alleyways and we say, where is my protector? Where is my protection? And we have some anxiety. And yet, we also know the truth that the hills of Jerusalem, in other words, God in his holy hill, the Bible talks about. We know where God is, even when there are dark alleyways in our life. We know where God is, and we know where our help comes from. And so I think, like the psalmist, we can say, you know what? I think I have both. I think I have some anxiety about the potential dangers in my life, but I also have anticipation looking to God's dwelling place and knowing where he is and knowing where my help comes from. So either way, whichever way you take that, or if you put them both together, we're going to want to follow the psalmist through the next several verses. Are you ready? And why? Because I think you and I, we all need encouragement for our journey. So then verse 2, the psalmist says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." I kind of feel like we don't need to explain that very much. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I think it can be tempting for us to seek help from other people or other things. Yet the psalmist clearly declares that there is only one singular place where our help ultimately comes from. It comes from the Lord. I think it's interesting. He says, "Who made heaven and earth?" And I love talking about creation. The scripture is full of the truth that God is creator. And yet this particular reference, I don't think, is emphasizing the act of creation as much as the omnipotence of the creator. In other words, my help ultimately comes from the Lord, who is able to help me. Why? Because he created the heavens and the earth. He created the hills. He created the dark alleyways. He knows every nook and cranny of my life. He knows every bump along the journey. And so when I say my help comes from the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, he is supreme. He is omnipotent. He is over everything. The same is true for us, as the psalmist recognized. Every step I take, I'm looking to God for my help, for my protection. That's true for us today. And I think it's good, and I've mentioned this multiple times over the past several weeks, and I think it's part of God working in my heart during my sabbatical and our family taking this last summer off, of God speaking to me in really for 3 months just pulling away at everything in my mind and in my heart, just pulling it all back, saying, "Luke, look at me, just look at me. Pull everything else away, look at me. Don't think about church, don't think about ministry, don't think about these other things, don't think about this, just look at me, think about me." And so as I'm reading scripture and as I'm studying these things, it's becoming more real to me that God over and over and over and over and over says, "I singularly, I solely, I alone by myself am all you need." And yet me as a human, I tend to say, I need to figure out. I feel like my life is in danger. There is an unknown. There's something that makes me feel intimidated or scared or whatever, where I feel like I'm in danger, and so I need to figure this out. I need to have a plan. I need to feel protected. And I have to say, you know what? God does use people and things to help us, yet ultimately, we need to recognize that our help lies not in anything created. Okay, think about that. Ultimately, our help lies not in anything created. Think about that a little bit longer. If truly our help does not ultimately come from anything created, what does that leave us with? The creator, the maker of heaven and earth. Well, but if I just got a raise at my job, then I would have a little bit more financial freedom, then I would be able to relax in my life. We don't need a show of hands. Who has had that thought yesterday, right? Or, you know, we struggle with these things. Or if just this would happen, or if just this would happen. And, right, if we're honest, we actually want to grab a hold of these tangible things. Or for the single people, if I just found the right person and could get married. Or for the married people, God, if you just get a hold of my spouse and fix them, right? Whatever it is. We have all these tangible, created things. For the college students, if I could just get through school. We have all of these tangible things that if this would just happen, if this would just change, if this would just come into my life, if this would just leave my life, and we're really wanting to move around all of these created things to say it would help me. It would help me if all of these created things were shuffled around differently in my life. The psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord who, let's go with the first and most important aspect of where our help comes from. He is the creator, which sets him apart from any other thing because everything else is created. I feel like I could just repeat the last 5 minutes like 3 or 4 times and we could go home and be like, yeah, that's really good, right? We need to be reminded of that. But our help comes from the Lord and he is supreme. He's the creator, amen? That is encouragement for our journey. And then verse 3, he goes on to say, he will not let your foot be moved. Pause right there for a moment. He will not let your foot be moved. How many of us wake up in the morning and we think, and maybe we just start our day praying, Lord, just help my foot not to move today. That just does something for me. We're like, what in the world does that mean? By a show of hands, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. How many of you have gone on a trip to Haiti? Raise them nice, high and proud, okay? And it's not just about going to Haiti, but some other people that have gone to other countries. And when you go to other countries, especially the poorer countries, you do this thing every day. It's called walking, okay, and hiking. So in America, we say, we're talking about journey here, so this walking and driving and all this stuff, this is all applicable. So we think, Lord, we want journey's mercies. We want, you know, safety as we travel, and we get behind the wheel and we drive, right? So if we put ourselves back in this day, walking, hiking, a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, if you can imagine these people walking on a snake path, weaving around these hills and mountains, it made perfect sense for them to say, our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, and here's what he's going to do for you. He's not going to let your foot be moved. When you are hiking in Haiti, and I tell people when we go hiking, we go hiking, and I tell them, I don't normally have to tell them this, but we kind of remind people, you have to pick your steps. Every step, you have to choose. Here, we walk, we very seldom look down. I don't know if you realize that. We walk around, I'm walking on the stage, where am I looking? I'm not looking at my feet. Why? I know what's there. I am not in fear that my feet are going to move, meaning slip. My feet aren't gonna go like this on stage. If I was walking like that, you'd all wonder what's wrong with me, right? We go to the mall, we walk, we go to the store, we walk. We're not concerned, and if there's water there, we have these convenient signs that say, caution, wet floor, right? In Haiti, when you're hiking, you're like this. Always, probably not like this, you'll get a backache, but your head is bowed and your eyes are picking your spots. Why? Because there are rocks, there are sticks, there are thorns, there are all kinds of stuff. And if you're not looking down and you step on a round rock, your foot is going to move and your ankle is going to do things that God did not intend your ankle to do. And you're going to fall and all the Haitians will laugh at you like that white person doesn't know how to walk, right? And so when you're hiking, you don't want your feet to move. You've got to pick your spots. And then when you cross the river, you realize, I can't see my spots. I don't know where my feet are landing. Megan's laughing because she's like, I almost died. Yeah, it was difficult. And riding dirt bikes across the river is great excitement. I think probably, and I don't say this bragging, I was praying the whole time, but I crossed a river once on a dirt bike where I pulled my feet up and put my heels on the gas tank. So you can imagine that position. So I'm sitting on the seat with my heels on the gas tank and the water was getting my backside wet. That's how tall the water was. And I revved it and blasted in there, and of course you're hitting all these rocks that you can't see, and I'm like, I'm not going to make it. I got through the river, and then of course the engine flooded because of all the water, and it died in about 2 feet of water, and I kind of got through. But when you drive, even shallow, even this much water, and you drive a dirt bike through it, you're constantly hitting rocks. You can't pick your spot. And so in those type of conditions, all of a sudden it becomes more real to say a prayer or to receive encouragement to say, God, He's the creator of these rocks. He's the creator of these trails. He is the one that protects us. He's the one that helps us. And He's going to help our feet stay firmly planted in the spot that they're supposed to be. It's like, wow, that is actually pretty cool. He will not let your foot be moved. That is encouragement for our journey, right? And then the last part of verse 3, on into verse 4, it says, He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Have you ever fallen asleep at the wheel when you're driving? I hope not. Ann and I used to drive through the night frequently. That was our preferred method of travel with young children. Because they can sleep in weird positions and not be sore the next day. God created their bodies like that. It's wonderful. And so we used to drive through the night. And we'd drive from Arkansas up to Iowa to see family. It'd take us about, 10 hours when the kids were sleeping. And if we tried to make it during the day, it would take us like 13 hours, right? So we drove at night. And Ann and I would take shifts driving. I would drive for 9.5 hours and she'd drive for 30 minutes and we split it up that way. Sometimes I would get really, really tired and I'd be like, oh, babe, I'm just really tired. She'd say emphatically, hey, I'll drive for a while so you can sleep. And then a few minutes later, I'm in la-la land. I'm just, sawing logs and I'm just as, sleeping soundly and I get a hit on my left shoulder. Hey, babe. And she's like, I can't stay awake anymore. I'm like, okay, I can drive again. How long has it been? 10 minutes? You gotta be kidding. I love my wife, but she can't stay awake. But I would rather get hit on the shoulder than wake up in the ditch, amen? The scariest thing, and maybe some of you that have driven a lot, the scariest thing is when you kind of snap out of your daze and you realize, I haven't really paid attention to anything over the last 2 hours. I don't even really know if I'm on the right road, right? That's scary. That is scary. But what a blessing to know that the God who helps us never falls asleep at the wheel. He never goes, oh my goodness, I forgot to help Luke in this situation. No. In fact, I want to be careful not to assume everybody knows this story, but there's a story in the Old Testament when Elijah defeats the 400 prophets of Baal. Baal is the false god. And they had a competition on Mount Carmel. I just have to say this. And they were trying to get their gods to rain down fire on the altar and try to get their gods to respond. And they went for hours and hours, all day, I think the Bible says. And Elijah got all sarcastic, and I just have to say, I love it. Because he's like, hey, you guys, maybe your gods are asleep. Maybe you need to yell louder and wake them up. Yeah! Give it to him, Elijah. And he's like, let me tell you about my God. And he didn't say this, but our God never sleeps. He never dozes off behind the wheel. And the end of that story, by the way, he said, go down to the sea and bring all this water and douse all this sacrifice and dig a trench around it and fill it with water. Cover this whole thing with water. And then he says, God, you ready to show up and show off? And God rained down fire from heaven. Not only did it burn the sacrifice, it incinerated all of the rocks. It incinerated the altar. There were no stones left. And it licked up all the water in the trench. That's the God that helps us. He's not asleep. We don't have to yell louder to get his attention. He's always alert. He's always ready to help. That is encouragement for our journey. Amen? And then verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6 says, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." The Lord is our keeper, protector, guardian. He protects us from the dangers of the day and of the night. That is encouragement for our journey. Verse 7, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life." Notice that God's focus is on us. It's not about him conquering evil. It doesn't say the Lord will destroy all the evil. And we know he will someday. Praise God for that. But he says, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life." So it's not about him conquering evil here in this verse. It's about protecting us from it, protecting our very lives. I think sometimes we feel that our road is too difficult to travel. We can't do it any longer. However, as long as you and I have life, as long as we are alive, God has protected our lives, he's preserved our lives, we have an opportunity to continue on our journey and to serve him. Do you believe that? Sometimes, and I've said this before, you probably heard me say it, but sometimes we are so discouraged on our journey that we say, "I can't do it anymore. I've done all that I can for God." And sometimes I have to give myself a pep talk and I have to say to myself, I say, "Self, until I have died for the name of Jesus, I have not given my all. If I am still alive, I have yet to give as much to God as he has given for me, because he died for me. So when the going gets tough, as long as I'm alive, I'm able to keep going on the journey." That is encouragement for our journey. And then the last verse, it says, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Notice, will keep in verses 7 and 8, showing that God's ongoing and future care for us. The Lord is protecting us, and he will continue to protect us on our life's journey. That is encouragement for our journey. And here's one last, but I believe powerful thought on the collection of verses 3 through 8. Notice the change in verses 1 and 2 from "I and my" to "you" in verses 3 through 8. Now, there's no indication that the psalmist is actually having a dialogue with someone else, but as they would be singing this, think about it. There's this, maybe you could call it a progression, but it's saying, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Or from where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." That's kind of like the introduction. Like, we can look around at the dangers of the hills, or we can look in anticipation towards Jerusalem. Either way, we know our help comes from the Lord. I know that. You can sing it. I know that. We each sing it about ourselves. I know my help comes from the Lord. But the journey is still tough, isn't it? The journey stinks. Our feet are moving on these rocks. We're sinking in the river. Whatever it is, our journey is difficult. So then there's this change, and as we're walking toward heaven, as we're walking through this life, as these families, these Jewish families are walking toward Jerusalem, they continue to sing the song. And it changes from "I and my" to "you and your." And we're going to read it in just a moment. But I want to tell you, this last week, Jaron started basketball practice. And this is Jaron's first experience, also a couple other of the sixth graders. It's their first experience in true, legitimate physical conditioning. And I decided I am going to journey with my son through that wall. And so this last Thursday, I was reminded of two very important truths. Number one is, it was a lot easier 20 years ago than it is today. I am sore. In places I forgot I even had muscles. But the second truth is I was reminded of what it feels like to be a part of a team and to encourage each other and to push each other. And when I'm there doing these exercises and trying to jump like a gazelle, which God did not intend for us to do, but I'm trying it anyway, and the other coaches are participating, and when the other coaches are like, hey, Pastor Luke is showing you guys up. Come on, look at his determination. And then in a little bit, they were showing me up too, okay? But we're kind of yelling at each other like, keep going, push it, keep going. This is the good pain. No pain, no gain, right? Keep pushing it. That teamwork and that camaraderie. So imagine a pilgrimage to Jerusalem with children, families, they're walking, literally walking, and it's hard. What about the elements? What about the rain? What about the sun? What about all these things? And so listen to the song that they sang. So get that in your mind. Your family, you're walking to Jerusalem day and night, and you're camping. There's dangers, there's hills, there's rivers. And they sing, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, son, daughter, wife, husband. The Lord is your shade on your right hand, but the sun is hot. I know, the Lord is your shade. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. I know it's difficult, but God is with us. He's with you. Keep going. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Can you hear them singing that as they're walking? And the kids are in the back, maybe walking behind the donkey, like, are we there yet, Dad? Say, hey, keep going, son. Keep going. The Lord is with us. He is your keeper. He's not going to let your foot be moved. Sing it with me. I wish I knew the melody. Sing it with me. Quote this with me. Let's sing it again. That is encouragement for the journey. So here's my challenge, my request for each of us this week. Get your Bibles and read those 15 chapters. Read Psalms 120 through 134. And what you're going to find is there's a lot of different topics. There's a lot of different things that are covered. But I think it's really neat to, at the beginning of each one, it says a song of ascent or a song of degrees. So think about it and apply it to your life and your journey as we ascend, if you will, in our journey toward heaven. We are moving toward the Lord slowly but surely. And so all of these topics that are covered, the Jews compiled them to say, these are truths that we want to remember as we are on our journey. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that we've received today. Thank you for the joy that we can experience on our journey, the encouragement that you bring us. Lord, thank you for keeping us, for guarding us, for protecting us. God, thank you for encouraging us on our journey. God, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.